First, let me wish everyone Boker Tov. After wishing you Boker Tov, and Shavua Tov, Chodesh Tov, we've begun to discuss some of the various aspects of Korban Pesach and the Chag HaPesach in general, with a special emphasis on what's called the Oneg of Olam Haba, the delight of the world to come. Meaning that as we make a transition from Golus, from the exile in Mitzrayim, to Geula, to the redemption, we are moving from Olam HaZeh to Olam Haba. What does that mean? From Olam HaZeh to Olam Haba. Why is Golus identified with Olam HaZeh and Geula with Olam Haba? And the answer, I believe, in the works of Rabbi Nosson of Breslov, is that Olam HaZeh represents a kind of what he would call, I think, a myopic or limited vision or perspective on life, in which, if I could use the phrase, what you see is what you get. And all the pleasures and the challenges of this world are just limited to this world. They don't go beyond this world. That's Olam HaZeh. And this world is full of confusion, full of misery and challenges, and what he calls minios. Minios means we're limited in our perspective because we don't see the inner meaning of life, or chas v'shalom, we don't see the belief in God. All this is Olam HaZeh. You know, we're limited to the physical, material world, and we're restricted, we don't go beyond. But then we have something called Olam Haba. Olam Haba is a different perspective. It's a perspective from eternity, from infinity, from truth, with a capital T, the ultimate vision. Golus Mitzrayim represents that view and that perspective which is limited to this world, to Olam HaZeh. He calls it the Olam HaMerirus, Merirus meaning bitterness. And that's how he connects to the eating of Marar on the night of Pesach. What is Marar? Marar represents the state of confusion. The Jews are in exile for a period of 210 years. They don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. They don't perceive divinity. Where is God? What is the purpose? Why are the righteous suffering? All that is the perspective of Golus. And he identifies it based on the Torah of the Arizal, who, as you know, lived 5 centuries ago and gave us a little bit of an insight, a perspective on the secrets of the Torah. The Arizal says that the sin of Adam HaRishon was not just Adam HaRishon as one individual, but we were all nichlal, we were all included in that neshama of Adam HaRishon. So to the same extent that the sin of Adam HaRishon impacted on him, and of course on Chava, it impacted on all of us. And we need, no less than Adam HaRishon himself, a tikkun to rectify the sin of Adam HaRishon. Again, it's a mystical concept that you and I would not encounter in, you know, in our daily life, or when we learn Chumash, you know, we learn the Torah and we say, all right, that's Adam HaRishon. In Yiddish we say, Vas bin ich shuldig, why am I guilty? I mean, that was Adam HaRishon, that was his problem. You know, he didn't have the right perspective. He ended up by eating the Eitz Hadas, and he created what's called the Taroves, a mixture of Tov and Ra, in a situation where no longer is there clarity, what's good and what's evil. He looked at the moment, and the pasuk describes the Eitz Hadas as Tava Hila Einayim. You remember this pasuk, that it looked so beautiful and so alluring and so enticing, and he fell prey to that. But as a result, he took into his very essence this combination, this mixture, again, to use the Ari's language, which is always very, you know, very challenging. The Arisal says that the Gemara Nida tells us there are five damim tmeim and five damim tahorim. Right, in the pasuk in Shoftim says, "Bein dam lidam." We have to differentiate between that which is tahar and that which is tame, that which is good and that which is evil. And all this, this entire process of having to select and decide which are the damim tahorim and which are the opposite, is all a result of that original sin of taroves damim tahorim with damim tmeim. It was all mixed together. And as a result, we have to undergo a process called birur. Birur means to clarify. To clarify and select, right? For example, one of the 39 categories of labor on Shabbos is called meleches borer, which means to select, to take the ochel and throw away the psolis. Like, for example, you have a kernel and you have the husk, and the husk is psolis, it's something that you want to get rid of, and it hides underneath it a kernel of wheat from which we could bake bread. We can make flour and bake bread. So we have to separate. That's the process of separation. Again, what we're going to touch on later on, if we have a chance today or another occasion, is Shabbos, because on Shabbos there's no borer on Shabbos. That's completely excluded. But during the days of the week, we have to go through a very tedious and difficult, challenging process of borer, to select out the psolis, to get rid of the ra, and choose and identify the good. Get rid of the damim tmeim for the sake of choosing the damim tahorim, that which is tahar, that which is pure. And the merirus of 210 years of exile represents that confusion in which, because Paro worked us so hard, subjugated us, humiliated us, and beat us in a way that we couldn't have the ability to develop what's called da'as. Now, da'as, again, literally translates as knowledge, understanding, wisdom. But on a deeper level, from the perspective of Pnimius HaTorah, the inner, deeper meaning, the concealed meaning of the Torah, da'as is the ability to differentiate between good and evil. When everything is all mixed up together in Bilbulim, Paro in Golos Mitzrayim didn't give us an opportunity to really logically or with an act of understanding to perceive the difference between good and evil. That's the merirus. And that merirus represents Olam Hazeh, this world in which we don't see beyond what's right in front of our eyes. We cannot make a discernment of that which is more eternal, that which is infinite, that which belongs to the world that breaks out of the restrictions of this physical world. We were incapable of doing so. Now, Rabbi Nosson introduces a concept which is called Kalim. I think we've spoken about it in the past. Kalim means a receptacle. We, each and every one of us, have receptacles. Again, not in the physical sense. You know, when we learn Rabbi Nosson, we have to get rid of our limited understanding of physicality. We're talking about something that's metaphysical. And that represents the nefesh ha'adam, the soul of man, is a kli, is a vessel. What kind of a vessel is it? It's a vessel that potentially could receive the light, the supernal light of divinity as it comes down from on high, but it all depends on how we create our kalim. Every soul has to form and design his receptacle. He can do it in the positive way, or heaven forbid, in the negative way. The negative way is called pogum. Again, if I had a whiteboard, I would write it on the board. Pei, gimel, vav, mem. Pogum, which literally translates as deficient, damaged. A person could, heaven forbid, take his own nefesh, his own soul, and soil it, contaminate it, and make it deficient. It becomes pogum. If it's pogum, then when the light comes down from on high, it is received in a kli pogum, in a receptacle that is perverted, heaven forbid, contaminated. And that light, which has so much potential to bring a person to das, to understanding and perceiving what looks like truth but it's not truth, and going, penetrating below the surface, we can only do so if we can receive the light. So what did the Kalim of Klal Yisrael during that period of Golus Mitzrayim, what did they look like? Were they Kalim Tahorim? Were they pure Kalim that could receive the R, the light from above, and elevate it, and achieve Das? Or were they Kalim Pagumim? They were contaminated by the society of Mitzrayim, by the Ervas Haaretz, which is the description the Torah gives to Egyptian society. Were they Pagumim because of the interaction with the Mitzrim in that culture in which they were influenced by the Mitzrim? Which was it? What were Akalim like during the 210 years of Golus Mitzrayim? Can anybody guess? You have a 50-50 chance of getting the right answer. It's either Kalim Tahorim or Kalim Pagumim. Which is it? Pagumim. And how do I know this? Because Chazal say that we reached, this is Zohar, famous Zohar, the 49th level of Tumah. To such an extent that at Yamsuf, the Malachi Asharis came in front of the Kisei HaKavod and they said, Halolu Ovdei Avodah Zarah, Valolu Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Goy mikarev goy. We were like one with the Mitzrim. Again, it's hard to imagine such a thing. But that was the level that we reached. The low level of contamination. It always reminds me what the Rambam writes about how a person has to choose the right society because he's so influenced. Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Deos was so impacted by the society around us. We have to choose where we want to live. And if we're surrounded by Rishoyim, by evildoers, we have to be very careful. They'll influence us. Only maybe one tzaddik, who's above the influence, but otherwise we're influenced. This was Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim. So we're suffering in Mitzrayim from Merirus, from the Morar, that removes and undermines our das, our capability of perceiving the truth and revealing that which is concealed, the infinite truth that's below the surface. And what we need now is to improve our kalim, to purify them, to rise above all the influences that contaminated us in order that we could receive the R, that light that shone at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Did we have enough time? Was there an ample capability for the Jewish people to go from one extreme to the other, to make an entire turnabout, a 180-degree turnabout, from Kalim Pagumim to Kalim Tahorim? Did we have the time? What's the answer? Again, I give you the choice. We did not have the time. It was impossible. We were about to slip, Chas v'Sholem, into the lowest level of number 50. Free choice, but within a time framework. You see, people think, mistakenly, that free choice means that today I'm going to make a total turnabout. That a person who was guilty of the most hideous crimes, of theft, of immorality, chas v'shalom, of chil Shabbos, of denying God's existence, heaven forbid. And now, overnight, that person is going to make a change? He's going to transform himself through a metamorphosis from kelim tmeim and pgumim to kelim tahorim? No. I got to tell you honestly. Something happened overnight. And what's the key word in the Bible to understand overnight? It starts with a ches, ends with a nun, has a pay in it, has a zion in it, has a vav in it. Nobody? Chipazon, excellent. The key word here, the code word of this entire explanation of the Arizal is the word chipazon. There was a certain urgency. There was a certain necessity for immediate action. There was no room for delay. Let's take our time. Let's wait the 49 days, as you say, between Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kabbalas HaTorah, in which the Jewish nation could slowly, darga darga, step by step, grow and ascend and climb the ladder. There was no luxury to wait the 49 days and allow the Jewish people to change and transform their kelim from kelim pegumim to kelim tahorim. They were slip sliding away. They were about to fall into a deep abyss, and there was no way out. But what about the first of the 49 days? That's chipazon. Oh, so what happened at the time of chipazon? Says the Arizal, v'diglu alai ava. This is a pasuk in Shir Hashirim. The pasuk says that in ava you could have something called dilug. You know, this is what I call love at first sight. You know, most people, like me and my wife, it took us months and months of dating, of getting to know each other. It wasn't love at first sight. Sometimes I feel jealous of those who know on the first date, this is the girl I'm going to marry. Hopefully she thinks the same. So with regard to the relationship between the Almighty God and the people of Israel, there was an Ava relationship. And this is called, in the language of the Arizal, Ava She'ena Tluya B'davar. You know, usually, if God chooses someone, like for example, God chose Noach. Noach was an Ava Tluya B'davar. How do I know this? How do I know that the love and the choice of God of Noach was contingent? It was not absolute. The Torah introduces Noach. Ish tzaddik tamim haya b'dorosav. And then God reveals himself to Noah. Noah had to prove himself. And the entire history of the Bnei Noah is that unfortunately they weren't able to prove themselves the way Noah did. So the choice of Noah was conditional. And you know that in contract law, if you don't live up to the condition, the deal is off. But in the case of Avram Avinu, what introduction does the Torah give to the pasuk Vayomer Hashem el Avram Lech Lecha? Zero. There is no introduction. Because Avram was an Ava She'ena Tluya B'Dover. And the Maharal Miprag, living five centuries ago, he wrote about this extensively. So what happened on the night of the 15th of Nisan was a bechina of Av, of Dilug. A ha'ora came down from Shamayim, and that ha'ora, that light, would imbue and inspire the Jewish people, even though their kelim were kelim pegumim, which the Arizal identifies, if you're familiar with the phrase, Isarusa Diliela. There was no Isarus from the Jewish people. They had no speech. They had no capacity. They had no tefillah. At best, they had za'aka, which is some sort of almost an animalistic cry, a basic, like an animal in danger, in crisis, will cry out. That's where the Jewish people were up to. So they were in Memtes, and they couldn't extricate themselves. In order to transform that kelim, there had to be a ha'ara, the Leil Shimurim, that beautiful night of Ava. What happens? Rabbi Nosson explains the mechanics of it. That normally the R has to be received in order to get a tzura, a shape, a design. The keli will define and identify or concretize the exact tzura of that R. For example, he points out that Bilam, Harasha, he had Kalim Pagumim, and he was hoping that the R of Hashem would come into his Kalim Pagumim, and he would be able to convert it to a klala, to a curse. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu transformed that R and made it into a tsere instead of a komatz. Right? The Pasuk says, Ki barech lakachti uberech v'lo achzirenu. That it started with a barach, with a komatz. Komatz means undefined, kmitza, it's closed up. And Bilam's plan was that that undefined R would be received in his kelim pagumim, and he would transform that R into a klala. But instead Hashem said, I'm going to do a miracle. Out of my love for Klal Yisrael, I'm going to take that R, and before it comes down to Bilam in his kelim pagumim, I'm going to already give it a tzura. That's called tzera. Berech is the end of the pasuk. With a tzera, right? Two dots. Tzera means tzura. God gave it a tzura of a bracha even before it came down to Bilam, preventing Bilam, making it impossible for him to give a curse to Klal Yisrael. So all the intended curses in Bilam's original plan were transformed into brachos. And Hashem, when he brought his R down on the night of the 15th of Nisan for Klal Yisrael, God gave it a tzura of bracha, of inspiration, of das, of tara, even before it was received by the kelim of Klal Yisrael. That's called the Sarusa Diliela. It all comes from above. It's what we call the Chesed of Hashem. The night of Pesach is the epitome of Chesed, of Ava, of the love that we saw in Avraham Avinu when he was chosen by God. No contingencies. No conditions were set. It was already in the state of a tzura. It was already formed as a bracha before it came down to our kelim. And that's called b'chipazon. That was an urgency that skipped over steps, that completely overrides what's called the need for a sarusa diletata, where we, human beings, take the initiative. We couldn't take the initiative. We couldn't transform and purify our kelim. When does the process of Isarusa Dilatata begin? Mimachras HaShabbos. Shabbos here is a reference to Pesach, not like the Tztukim said. And we'll try to understand why Pesach is called Shabbos. Shabbos is the day of the week where there's no birur, there's no selection. What do you say, David? Correct, but Pesach in a very special way, because Pesach circumvents the need for birur, for Yemei Achol. Every day of Yemei Achol, we're involved in labor. 39 categories of labor. What's the purpose of labor? It's all birur. For example, how many different categories of labor are necessary to produce a loaf of bread? Anybody know the number? 10. The 11th is already baking when it's already roy. But the first 10, those 10 labors represent taking a piece of land and plowing it and planting it and harvesting it, and then you get your tvua, and then you have grains which have husks, and you have to do borer, zora, marakit, etc., etc. Then you do trina, and you make it into what? Into a flour, and then you add water, which is called lisha, until finally you're up to afia. All this process is a process of birur. Again, in the physical, material reality, in the metzius hagashmis of this world, that's called birur. All the 10 malachos that end up and culminate with pas are malachos of birur. But on a level of pnimius haTorah, in terms of metaphor, in terms of symbolism, the birur process of creating lechem is nothing less than the birur process of selecting the good and leaving out the evil. Taking the kernel and leaving the husk. Do you see the symbolism of it? And this is the symbolism of the Yemei HaChol, of the Golas Mitzrayim, Avodas Porech. Birur is a tremendously difficult thing. What does God tell Adam HaRishon? Be'itzavon tochlena. You're not going to be able to, like in Gan Eden, you know, just pluck a gluski yefefa, a beautiful loaf of bread off the tree. You're going to have to work at it. You're going to have to do a process of 10 malachos of birur because you mixed up tov and ra. Because you gave in to your taiva and you decided for the pleasure of ki taiva hilei naim, everything is in the eyes. So that's a different discussion, Rabbi Nosson. Therefore, once you succumbed to that taiva and you lived in this world, you mixed up the tame and the tar, and now you're going to have to be cursed, bitzavon. What does bitzavon mean?
Depression.
Sadness. Atzmus. Anyone knows the first thing about Rabbi Nachman of Breslov knows that if I had to define all of Breslov in one single word, which is obviously an oversimplification, which word would I choose? Help me out here. It starts with a sin and ends with a hey. Simcha. The opposite of simcha is atzvus. Atzvus is evil. Atzvus is yetzahara. Atzvus is the sitra achra. Atzvus is all the forces of evil that try to bring you down. That's what golus is all about. The Golus of Mitzrayim for 210 years is all about Bitzavon Tochlena. It's all about the Avodas Parach that undermines your Das, makes you incapable of thinking about something that goes beyond the confines and the four walls of this world, to penetrate into something which is concealed, something which is truth, which is infinite, which is ultimate, to find divinity, to discover God. So what do we eat on the night of Pesach? And that's the name of the holiday in the Torah. We eat the matzah. The matzah is simcha. Why is the matzah simcha? You know, you might say to me, Rabbi Berzon, no offense, but when I chew that matzah, you know, I got this, hand shmura matzah. It's like chewing on cardboard, you know. You call that simcha? But the answer is that lechem is not b'chipazon. Lechem, chametz, is a long, tedious process that represents confusion, that represents the challenge of birur. And it's all blown up. Because the confusion is a result of neficha, that which is blown up, that which looks so fluffy and enticing. The ego. Adam HaRishon says, I want autonomy. I'm going to determine what's good and evil. And the Nochash HaKadmoni, too, he's able to entice Adam HaRishon to believe that you could become godlike. You can determine what's right and wrong. You are the author of morality. That's the gaiva of Chametz. But we'll get to Chametz the whole year round in a minute. But during the days of Pesach, it's b'chipazon. Forget about birur. There's no nefichus. There's nothing blown up in the matzah. It's pure spirituality. It's pure tahara, purification. It's the chipazon of the bracha that comes down from Shamayim that circumvents the atzmus and the merirus of the birur process. You're not ready for the birur process. But it's already a tzere with a mitsuyar, with a tzura, and that's how you receive the bracha, and it's going to inspire you to simcha. And simcha is geula. If Golus is Atzvus, then Geula is Simcha. And Matzah requires Simcha. And here Rabbi Nosson asks, why do we require three Matzahs? You know that he authored the Likutei Halachos because his Rebbe, Rabbi Nachman, told him, I want you to write a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. Two questions. Number one, why is the Shulchan Aruch so important in Breslov, in the Torah of Rabbi Nachman and his Talmud Muvak, his disciple Rabbi Nosson? Why all the emphasis on Shulchan Aruch? And number two, the halachas of matzah on the night of the Seder are very complicated. Surely Rabbi Nosson, who was a great Talmud Chacham, he came from the Lithuanian background of Lomdus. Surely he was aware of all the complex halachas of matzah. We have three matzahs. The first matzah, we make a bracha, motzi lechem in aretz. Second matzah, we break into two. And we recite a bracha, Asher kitshonu mitzvotzev tzivonu al achilas matzah. The third matzah is for korech, to make a sandwich. Rabbi Nosson was well aware of all that. He could have written a treatise on the Shulchan Aruch. Why did he need his Rebbe, Rabbi Nachman, to give him this legacy, to impose upon the shoulders of Rabbi Nosson, to write a work on Shulchan Aruch, based on the Torah of his Rebbe, Rabbi Nachman? What was Rabbi Nachman thinking? The answer is yes. Rabbi Nosson for sure knows that complex halachas. He can tell you the lomdus of why we need three matzahs and what each matzah serves. But based on my Torah, says Rabbi Nachman, I want you, Rabbi Nosson, to reveal the pnimius. Give me an insight based on that which is concealed, based on the Torah of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, the Zohar, based on the Torah of the Arizal and my Torah. I want you to reveal, what are the deeper meanings of these three matzos? And after you finish that task, go on to the four cups of wine and reveal the deeper meaning of each one individually, the Dalit Kosos. And therefore, in this fourth chapter of Hilchas Pesach, Rabbi Nosson, which I wanted to share with you, gives us an insight into the three matzahs and the four cups of wine. And my agenda, my goal, is that we should eat the matzah with extra kavana, you know, to have an intention that goes into, you know, beyond the world of lomdus. You know, some people, when they get to the matzahs, they're only thinking about, you know, how do I get to Kezias? And it's got to be Bachilas Pras, and I got to swallow it B'liya Achas, and the first Kezias, and the second Kezias, and two Kezias, and Lechem Mishnah, and is there Lechem Mishnah on the night of Pesach, and Darko Shaloni B'Prusa, and Yachatz, and they get so involved in Halachas, it's almost Chas V'Shalom Merirus, because when we learn Halacha, it's Merirus. There's so many kashas that we have, so much confusion. Says Rabbi Nosson, the Gemara tells us in Masechta Nida, we're all familiar with this Gemara, called Ashona Halachas B'chol Yom Hareze muftach lo ben olam haba. Why, if we, today's topic is olam haba, why does the shashua, the delight of olam haba, have to do with learning halachas? And the answer is that there are two halachas. There's one halacha which is theoretical, in which we have machlokas between Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Sil, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi, and we're confused. We have kashas. We're in a state of mariras, chas v'shalom. Then there's another Torah, and that's the Torah called halacha psuka. When after all the kashas, and all the confusion, and all the innuendos this way and that way, this question, this proof and that proof, and this chakir and that chakir, we finally come to a final conclusion. It's no longer a suffix. We've gone through a process of birur until we finally come to a conclusion which is clear, the clarity of what we call the Mishnah Brura, the Halacha Brura. And the Halacha Brura is the Bechina of Olam Abba. And Simcha Katoras HaSfekis, there's nothing like clarifying your doubts and seeing the truth. That's what Halacha Brura represents. And so on this night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, through that great chesed of Vidiglu, of God bringing down an R into, again, wow, Caleb, that weren't worthy of it, but it was already Mitzuyar. It was already Halacha Brura. It was already Halacha Psuka. We didn't have to go through the process of Birur. We were incapable of doing that Birur, of selecting and discerning the truth from that which is false, because we didn't have the Bechina of Das. We were granted a great miracle of Geula, which is Halacha Psuka, which is Simcha, to counter the confusion of the Kushos. And the Marirus of Golus, of Be'itzavon Toch HaLechem. And now I'd like to go through the three matzahs with you, one by one, according to Rabbi Nosson. When I was in Queens College, the Chabadnikim came around, they offered me matzah. But it was hand shmura. It was very expensive. I said, look, I have my own hand shmura. Okay, we'll give it to somebody else. Because we get an inspiration from above. And that's simcha, and that's geula, and that's God's chesed and his love. And that's what happened vis-a-vis the entire Klal Yisrael, as you say so well. At that urgent moment, it was pressing. We needed b'chipazon. What's the difference between the first matzah and the second and the third? He says the following, and here I want to read with you the text to some extent inside. I'll try to highlight it because we don't have that much time. Ki ha-matzah rishona, hi ha-kohen. You know that the three matzahs parallel Kohen, Levi, and Yisrael. Also Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And they also correspond to what's called Chesed, Gvura, and Tiferes. And I think we've spoken about these concepts in the past. Yaakov is Tiferes. Avram is Chesed. Yitzchak is Gvura. Says Rabbi Nosson, these three matzos correspond to three different names of the Almighty. They are Kel, Aleph Lamed, that's number one. Number two, Elohim, I didn't pronounce it with a hey, right? And lastly, Yud Ke Vav Ke, which is the holiest name of God. And those three names of God parallel Tefillah, Torah, and a Mizug, or a Shidduch, an integration of the above two, of Tefillah and Torah. Elsewhere, not here, Rabbi Nosson says that Tefillah is the Bechina of Nishma, and Torah is the Bechina of Nasa. But again, that's a different discussion. I'm only mentioning that for myself because I want to keep in mind, you know, ultimately you have to juggle so many different things that Rabbi Nosson says. By the way, what we're looking about is one page of Hilchas Pesach Rabbi Nosson. One page. How many pages do you think there are in Hilchas Pesach? I have the original here. 77 pages. This is one page from the fourth chapter. There are 9 chapters just on Hilchas Pesach. To translate this into English, just Hilchas Pesach, you would require a book in English with annotations and footnotes this thick, just on Hilchas Pesach, which is not even 1/10 of one of the 8 volumes of Rabbi Nosson's Likutei Torah, which is only one of his many, many works. What do you mean? Likutei Torah? No, Likutei Torah is, Likutei Halachos is on all four. This is the 3rd volume of Likutei Halachos, the last volume on Aruch Chaim. Okay. Says Rabbi Nosson, the 3 pillars of truth, he calls them Kaveh or Amudei HaEmes, are Tefillah, Torah, and the integration of the two, which he calls Shiduchim. Shiduchim is when you get a male and a female together, right? What do you say?
Shiduchim is not just male and female.
Yes, correct. Male and female are, again, metaphors for different midos of Nasav and Nishma. Again, you know, we can't cover everything, but you get the basic idea. So the first of the 3 matzos is going to be what? Kohen. In midos, it's going to be what? Chesed. Right? The first of the midos is chesed. And in avos, it's going to be which? Av? Avram. So Avram represents and personifies chesed. The first matzah, which is connected to Kohen, because the Kohen represents chesed or av. You remember that the last word in the bracha that a Kohen recites. And what was, right, what was Aaron all about? Aaron was all about Ava. And that's what Kohun is all about. In last week's parsha, we read Mitzora. Who's in charge of Taras HaMitzora? It's all the Kohen. And where does he go? He has to go Chutz L'machna. And the halacha is that the Mitzora has a right to demand even the Kohen Gadol to go Chutz L'machna, to check him out and declare that he's tar. I mean, again, he has to go through a purification process. That's the chesed of a Kohen. So we start with the first matzah, and that's the bechina of chesed. God's greatest gift of chesed to man is tefillah, or bracha, that we can recite a bracha, and we can acknowledge God's existence. And the fact that God gave us this gift. What's the status of everything before the bracha? L'Hashem ha'aretz ha'malach. It belongs to God. We don't have any right to benefit from this world. It's Kodesh Kadosh. Once we recite a bracha, ha'aretz nasan livnei adam. It now belongs to us. That's the koach. The power that God gave man. That's the koach of a bracha. That's the koach of tefillah. Which is the first matzah to get a bracha of the 3 matzahs? Kohen. Hamotzi lechem min haaretz. There's a machlokus in the Gemara and brachos whether you say hamotzi or motzi. The Madi Omer says hamotzi, based himself on a pasuk in Emor, it says hamotzi eschem me'eretz Mitzrayim. The other Madi Omer says, based on a pasuk in Bamidbar, El Motziyam Mitzrayim. It doesn't say Hamotzi. It says Motziyam without a hey. But both of them agree it's Motzi Mitzrayim. This is the Chesed of Hashem, represented by the Kohen, who is the personification of Chesed, that gives man the koch of Aleph Lamed of Kel, which is the koch of Tefillah, that through our speech, God gives us the power to acquire ownership over the entire world. That's the first matzah. So the first matzah means we thank Hashem for hamotzi lechem in aretz, that you gave us the ability of birur, of selection, to create lechem. What is lechem? Lechem is the process or the result of the process of 10 malachos, of birur. And that corresponds to the 10 mitzvos that we fulfill with a lechem, whether it's trumos or maestros or leket, shikha, pay, etc., etc. We're now well on the way to geula. We've been granted already in the first matzah, the chesed of Hashem. And now we get to the second matzah. So for this, you want to fast forward to Yudbet. I know, I'm sorry, I apologize, but maybe if you'll come next week, which will be the first day of Pesach, we'll have a chance to do that.
That class is next week?
No, I'm just joking. I might have to sleep a little late next Sunday because we have a light Seder. I mean, we have like 40 people at our Seder anyway. So what's the second matzah? Again, everything I said will give you the ability to read through the text. I was just highlighting and summarizing it. Now we get to the second matzah. The second matzah is which matzah? Levi. That's the matzah of the second name of God, of Elohim, which is the matzah of Moshe Rabbeinu, of Torah. Now, this is where we have to understand what's going on. Moshe is a Levi. Moshe is the Nosei Torah. Which part of Torah did Klal Yisrael need and is manifest in the second matzah? The matzah of Asher Kidshanu Mitzvos of Itzivanu Al Achilas Matzah. The matzah of Chipozon. The matzah of Geula. The matzah of Torah. But which Torah? Says Rabbi Nosson. It's the Torah of Halacha Psuka. This is the great Ha'ara, the Chesed that Hashem gave us. And that's why it's Keneged Yitzchak, because Yitzchak is Gvura. Yitzchak means facing all the challenges, the difficulties, the confusions. That's Gvura. Gvura comes from the left side, as opposed to Chesed from the right side. Gvura comes from the Merira. So now we're in a state in the second matzah of facing the matzah and then following the matzah with what? With the Marar. We're reaching Geula, because now we're being given the result of knocking off the Marar, so to speak. When we knock off the Marar, we do a tikkun on Merirus. And that represents the matzah of Shevet Levi, of Moshe Rabbeinu, of the Torah of Elohim. Elohim is the only name of God that's in plural. That's used also for Avodah Zorah, Elohim, Acherim, right? Because multiplicity and diversity, and you begin to attribute this to the whatever. I don't even want to mention all the modes of idolatry, but Elohim is that challenge of seeing things as if they were coming from multiple origins, Chas v'Shalom, when it's all Achdus, of all one of Hashem. What do we do with this second matzah before we eat it? We break it. Why? Because Darko Shel Ani Beprusa. Ani is an Ani Bedas. His Das is not developed. And therefore, we want to make the matzah representative of Ani, because to get out of Geula, we have to get out of the situation of Anius Bedas. And we're going to do that through the process of breaking the matzah. Does anybody know the Aramaic word in the Talmud for breaking something? Pirka, lefarek, who mosiv la, for who mefarek la. He asked the question and he answered the question. The word piruk, which means breaking, is the ultimate answer to all the kushos. As we said before, until we get to halacha psuka, we're in a state of confusion. We have this for and that's for, beisil, beishamai. And therefore we need to be mefarek. Mefarek means to break all those questions. And then we finally get to the third matzah. And the third matzah is the matzah of Korech. What's Korech? He says that Korech is the bechin of Yisrael. Yisrael combines Yaakov Avinu, both Avram and Yisrael, both Chesed and Gvura. and we get to the holiest name of God, which is the Shem Havaya, which is total Achdus. Everything is one unit. We're all part of the unity of God. And we have this new perspective, which is Shiduchim, which is Chasodim Ugvuros. Ve'me'irim, and they give us the light that will lead us to the third level of truth, the highest level of truth, which is Yud Kei Vav Kei. And once we reach the level of truth of Yud Kei Vav Kei, now in the Torah Rabbi Nachman, which he begins with here at the beginning of this chapter, which I don't think you have on your page, but anyway, that's Torah Beis in Likutei Tinyana. So Beis, Beis, Beis. And that's called Chanukah, which has to do with perceiving God through Hodoya. In any event, the bottom line is that when we get to the level of Yud Kei Vav Kei in the third Matzah of Korech, of unity, now we're ready for the four levels of Dibur. Because again, all of Golus is Golus HaDibur. We don't have the ability to speak. And these four levels of Dibur, after achieving the three levels of Emes, of Kel, Elokim, and Yud Kei Vav Kei, of Kohen, Levi, and Yisrael, of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, of finally reaching the level after Tefillah and Torah of Shiduchim, at that level of unity of Tiferes, now we're ready to drink the four cups of wine, because each one of the kosos of Yayin corresponds to another level of Dibur. There are four levels of Dibur. So I gave you the rest of this article to read on your own, because we ran out of time. Do it b'chipazon. Don't delay. So that when we drink in Mirtz Hashem the four cups of wine this Friday night in Mirtz Hashem, we'll appreciate the four levels of Dibur that we can achieve only after the three matzos that represent and manifest the highest levels of Kaveh HaEmes. And from the Kaveh, the Amudei HaEmes, we go on to the four levels of Dibur. And in Mirtz Hashem, we should reach the ultimate Geula. All of the night of Pesach, says Rabbi Nosson, is about the ultimate Geula Hasida. As we said in the Haftorah that we read yesterday, the Arval Hashem, Minchas Yud of Yishalayim, Kishonim Kadmonios, that the Beis HaMikdash should be even greater than the ultimate, the previous Batei Mikdashos, when we achieve the Geula Shlema, b'mehera v'yameinu. Amen. Chag Kosher v'sameach. Thank you so much.